Good morning. Welcome to the proceedings. Welcome to the roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue. Let me introduce our group this morning. We'll get started. We have a lot to do in a very short period of time, so we'll get right to it. Exactly, Chris Churchill. Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you? Okay, excellent. Good, good, good. Don't let that cat get your tongue. Excellent. Terry Gibson is here. I am thrilled. I haven't seen him in a long time, so it is wonderful to have Terry with us. He is a SUNY New Paltz communications professor and an adjunct professor at RPI.
That's right. Yeah.
And a former New York State senator. And we are always good to see you. I've missed you. How are you?
I've missed you, too. We've all missed you. Welcome back.
Great to be back, but very nice to see you again. Speaking of Bob Griffin, I haven't seen him in a long time either. He is the Dean of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University at Albany. Usually comes and just scares the hell out of us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Welcome back, Joe.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Hey, Chris Churchill is here. He is...
Sorry.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
That's Rosemary. That's not me. Good thing we're not in China.
It's coronavirus.
Yeah.
Well, now we all have it, so that's good.
I know.
Rosemary's come to give us the plague.
Burn that mic, please.
Chris Churchill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Welcome back, Joe.
It's wonderful to see you. Times Union columnist, of course, and Coffee McCoff fans here is investigative journalist and adjunct professor at UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo. How are you?
Good.
All right. We have a lot to do this morning.
Sure.
Except for the virus.
The governor is coming on the program at 10:30 this morning, so we have... Well, you missed the morning meeting. So we have an hour and 15 minutes, and in that hour and 15
There's
minutes...
so much.
I know. And we got to make some money here, too. So we have an amazing challenge on the table. Alan, just before we get into numbers,
sure.
Just tell people how important this is, because the fund drive starts February 10th. We're taking a couple minutes out of our roundtable panel throughout the morning just to... try to bring that down so we're not taking entire days of programming. We're just taking a little spits and spurts. But why that's so important?
I heard from somebody yesterday who was very annoyed, said that, she'd made her pledge, but on the other hand, she was not pleased with the fact that we're taking all this time for fundraising. Folks, we can't have this station without the fundraising. I am so sorry. And we're trying to do it in the most painless way we possibly can. I can't believe that we went crashing through the $700,000 mark in the fund drive already. $700,000. That's incredible. On our way to a million. We love you all, and a huge thank you to everybody who has done so much. Okay, so anyway, we have 5 days until the start of our February fund drive on Monday, February 10th. And here is what has just happened. I've just been handed this piece of paper which says that there is a $10,000 challenge from an anonymous Albany, New York person who says, I'll give you $10,000 if you can reach 725 in the lockbox. That gives us about $25,000 to raise, right, Joe?
Correct.
There are two ways to do that. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, or WAMC, that's M as in Mary, WAMC.org. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the thermometer on our website. It tells you exactly where we are. It's exactly where you are. And you've been magnificent and wonderful, and we are incredibly appreciative of everything that everyone has done. As for me, I can't tell you how my heart is filled every time I meet you on the street and you say you sent in your money before I say another word. So, folks... this is our station. We all made it together. Let's make sure we can do this. We need basically how much, Joe, in this next period till 10:30?
Well, it's about $23,000.
Yeah, that's 230 people with
$100. I haven't started my calculator yet, but that's ballpark.
You are better at this than anybody I know. It's like being able to count backwards, and you can do it.
I can't do either of those things, but thank you. Here we are. So we have a lot of money to raise. We only have an hour and 15 minutes to do it in. The governor will be on at 10:30. And I don't think he's going to be asking for our money. So we need to do it by 10:30 this morning. We have a $10,000 challenge on the table. So whatever you can do to help, please do it. 1-800-323-9262. If you do it on the website, if you go to WAMC.org, drop down menu, and you can go there and you can pick a premium.
You could if you like.
If you want to get some swag, that's a way to do it. And $100, and you can get a T-shirt or a hat or ice scraper or whatever.
And there are a few of the partnerships, aren't there?
We have a new one. We'll talk about tomorrow.
Okay, all right. But this is so important to us. Listen, everybody, we're not going to kid around. We know what happened last night, and we saw the spectacle of what was going on in the Congress and the State of the Union address, and the usual bullying and the usual nonsense. And people are scared this morning, and they're dispirited. But you can't let go your friend, and your friend here, which will always read out the truth to you, is WAMC.
Let's get to the subjects at hand at WAMC.org. Alan, so right, so we're going to get to that, and we're going to talk about what happened. And so keep us on the mind, please, as we try to get as much conversation in. But we also, we really need the money, which is bring us to 725 in the lockbox, which is really great. So we want to keep that going. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, or online at WAMC.org. Okay, so we'll start with the State of the Union address. And, I mean, I hear a lot of people already making a lot about this of, you know, whether we should be talking about the fact that Nancy Pelosi ripped up the speech at the end, or the fact that the president declined to shake her hand. I feel compelled that we should take a higher ground and not talk about that, and yet that's all I want to talk about.
Yep. She's the one person who matches him for theatrics.
Well, so what do you make of it? Did she do the right thing?
Yes.
I think she absolutely did. I'm sorry, Rosemary. Go ahead.
No, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think she did the right thing. The bully boys were all ready. They were standing up. They were cheering. They were yelling for more years and all the rest of it. Takes courage to be Nancy Pelosi in these days, and she has it. And I'm incredibly impressed. Now, we know what she said. She resisted, let's face it, she resisted the idea that we would have an impeachment because she knew where we were going to end up. And she's right. That's exactly where we are ending up. The president's numbers are going up.
Scary.
It is scary. And I think that our audience is scared. And therefore, or many people in our audience, not everybody, of course, but are scared. And the way that you do this is you support your friends in these tough times, and WAMC is your friend.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. You know, about that, though, of people being scared, I, out of all the things that I think that were disturbing about last night, and there were many, in my opinion, but that four more years chant, wow. We've heard, if you buy the narrative, is that Republicans say, oh, well, secretly we don't like him, but we have to get along. You know, we have to get along with the devil and we have to do it. And there they are standing up and saying four more years.
And they were told to. I mean, that was an organized effort, if there ever was one, in my opinion.
So were the women in white in the Democratic side. Of course it's all organized.
Except one, yes. Well, that was organized.
They're just on our side, so we like that.
I think it's, well, I do. I agree with you. And they were in white, and they were making a point about women in America. This is a guy who...
So it was H.R. 3. There were demonstrations and organized demonstrations on both sides.
That's what I'd say. I was actually appalled at last night, and I actually don't think the speaker did the right thing. I think that she should have taken the high ground, and ripping up the speech was, while it was symbolic and felt good for a few minutes, has given fodder to all of the naysayers. And if you start to think about what a terrible week this has been for the Democratic Party, I think that just adds on to it. I I don't like what I saw last night. I don't like the WWE approach to the State of the Union. I don't like the chanting on either side, the same way I didn't like when that congressman yelled at President Obama, calling him a liar. I think it's inappropriate, and it leads to the decay, the further decay of our republic.
So two quick things on the Nancy Pelosi thing. One is that we heard that it was not planned, that she didn't plan on doing it. I'm wondering what
you mean ripping it up,
ripping up the speech. The other thing is that she said that she did that because it was the only thing that she could do to keep her from doing other things. We don't know what those other things are.
The danger of it, though,
which I guess is just leaping across the desk, but I don't know.
The danger of it is that it could so easily be misinterpreted. I mean, if most people probably won't actually see the speech, they'll see the highlights. And a lot of the highlights that they'll see are those touching moments, you know, of the soldier coming home and all the other kind of tear-inducing things.
Rush Limbaugh getting the Medal of Freedom from
dying.
And then
Rush
Limbaugh. If you're watching the highlights and you see the touching moments and then they cut to her ripping up the speech, I think that could very easily be misinterpreted and could kind of backfire on her.
I think Americans need a hero right now. And I think that hero happens to be Nancy Pelosi, who is standing tall. And while you guys may be willing to cut her down for this, I am a tremendous admirer.
Not really cutting her down for it. I mean,
yeah, you are.
It was an emotional moment. I get that I understand it. I mean, you can't cut her down for that and not cut down the president for refusing to shake her hand. But she can be a hero to the left. That's great. But this is a battle for independence. This is a battle for independence. And if what she did is misinterpreted, I think it could be kind
of a
mistake.
The Dems have spent 3 years being nice, playing polite, going by the rules, and it got them. Did you see the spectacle last night?
Yes.
There was no kind of Michelle Obama, who Rush Limbaugh, by the way, said, "Michelle, my butt," one of the many lovely things that man who now has a big medal said, was wrong when she said, "Take the high road." It's gotten us nowhere. And I'm so glad she did it. And it is all over the internet. It is the only thing they're talking about. And that's great, because I'd rather
that. True. First of all, his until the last week or so, his approval numbers have been terrible.
They're going up, they've been absolutely steady, and now they're going up.
And then won the House in 2018. You know, I mean, appealing to the middle has a benefit.
This is all liberal dreaming. I'm sorry. And look at the turnout numbers. Forget the fiasco. Look at the turnout numbers in Iowa. There were not millions of
pathetic
new voters. There weren't even thousands. And there were not tons of new voters. We're not. It would be lovely. I would love to say that was true, but it is not.
No,
Trump is winning.
But for Democrats, the turnout numbers in Iowa are disturbing. Because you would have thought with all those candidates and all that supposed excitement that there would be a big
turnout.
And
all that's at stake, yeah.
1-800-323-9262 is the number we are trying to get to the $725,000 point. And
are you tracking it?
I'm working very hard on that as we speak.
Okay.
I'm just having trouble bringing it up at the moment, but I think I have a fix in. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and we will give you an update here, but we need... Know this, we need your money. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, and whatever you can do to help, because we want to get to 725. And to do that, we get a $10,000 challenge, which is just amazing. So we need to do that right now.
That's a lot of money, $10,000.
We have 65 minutes to do it in, Alan. 65 minutes to do it in.
That's not long.
1-800-323-9262. Terry, we haven't heard from you on this.
Well, I guess I was listening to my fellow panelist here, and I guess I sort of look at the symbolic nature of tearing up the speech as one that cannot really match the words and the statements that Trump is using. A symbolic symbol like that can be very much misinterpreted. The words and the statements that he's using are heard very much loud and clear to his base, and they're not misinterpreted by them. Even though much of what he said, if not all of what he said, was either an outright lie or completely misleading, to his base, they see it as a very symbolic gesture directly to them that they buy into, they agree with, and they want to hear more of. And I guess I would rate it this way. If the speech was designed to unify his base and to offend and alienate everyone else, I think he did a very good job. If his job was to try to unify the country, I think he did a horrible job.
Should we make a big deal that he didn't say the word impeachment?
I wouldn't expect him to say it. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected him to.
New York Times reporters were shocked that he actually stuck with the advisors.
Everyone thought he was going to say it because that's what he does, right? But so...
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's relevant anymore. I mean,
what
he
said
was
the State of the Union is the best it's ever been, and he put on a Super Bowl halftime performance last night. That was a great show. I'm sorry, I've been watching State of the Union addresses forever, and that was killer. When that guy came down and hugged his little son and daughter, oh my God. He won.
Great story.
Well, and that's the danger of ripping up the speech, right? Because it seems like you're ripping up those moments.
She stood at that part. She stood when he was there, though, too.
But that won't make the highlight reel.
Great story. I think it was in the Times this morning about how the sergeant-at-arms, they weren't letting people in to the... Because once they close off the chamber, they don't let anybody in. And they were having a scuffle of trying to get him in once the speech had started. And they said it was a breach of security.
Oh, my gosh,
so
that's great.
They said that the First Lady would come and open the door if they didn't let the guy in at the time. So they finally... gave in. It was sort of a very funny bat behind the scenes of what it takes to pull off one of those moments.
And the other thing I'm not sure that came across was when the father from Parkland, who was a guest in the gallery that Nancy Pelosi brought in, began yelling when he was doing his thing about Second Amendment, and they took him out.
Yeah, that wasn't really clarified. You had to follow up on the news to understand what happened there.
Yeah,
yeah, I heard
that's
the yelling,
unfortunate.
But I didn't,
I heard yelling and didn't know what it was, and you could see Nancy Pelosi going like that. So.
Right.
There were his use of people as props sometimes disturbs me. I mean, there were some moving moments that I think were legitimate. I was somewhat disturbed by the example of the young girl who wanted a scholarship to a school of her choice.
Yes.
It was all about school. I was a little disturbed
by
that.
As opposed to being in the failing public school. How about that terminology?
I was a little disturbed by that because the implication there is that the school in her community is not good enough to go to. And we know throughout this country, even here in New York, we have lots of public schools that are really suffering because of this whole concept of, well, now we're going to give you a choice and we're going to alienate you from your local public school. We're not going to invest in it properly, and we're going to only invest in select schools and to heck with everyone else. And I'm very disturbed by that concept.
Well, Democrats better be very careful with that. You saw the president make a number of direct appeals to black voters last night, and that is one of them. School choice is tremendously popular among poorer voters for the reason, I mean, they don't want it. A lot of people, middle class people, wouldn't want to send their kids to those schools, and poor voters don't want to either.
Well,
and
I
think that's a tough argument to make. It's extremely popular.
It's not an argument. It's just a fact. It's popular because public schools in many communities are suffering because they haven't received proper investments. So you can't blame people for wanting to go somewhere else. So that's just a fact. The problem is...
White voters have gone somewhere else. That's part of the problem. They've made their school choice by investing
in... But the ultimate problem is that it's not workable. It's not functional. It can't sustain itself. Because
we
have to provide a quality education to everyone. And as long as we're not doing that, we're going to be failing.
We only have 30 seconds, and I want to remind people that we have a lot of money to make in the next hour. $19,847, Alan. That's what we need to get.
Getting closer. That's good.
To make a $10,000 challenge. So
$10,000.
1-800-323-9262. Trying to get to the 725 point in our lockbox. We'll do it with you. Whatever you can give. 1-800-323-9262. You can also go online and do it there. WAMC.org. $10,000 challenge. We have until 10:30 this morning. Do your part. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. A couple minutes off there gave us... We were exchanging recipes, talking about different things. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. That's the phone number to help this radio station... Please get the phlegm off my arm. 1-800-323-9262. That is the phone number because you can help us. We need to, in the next 55 minutes, we need to make $19,112 to get a $10,000 challenge. That is very, very important.
It's so important. I just keep thinking that we are on the precipice of totalitarianism here. The Constitution is being ignored and ripped up, and I'm really worried about what happens in a second term when this guy won't face re-election. I think it was a catastrophe, but there are people who disagree, like Jim, who's written us a letter, who said, State of the Union. Trump won the night, and you don't like it. That's what he said.
Well, that's true. That's
yeah, that's, yeah. So, yep, Jim, but don't forget to donate, Jim.
No, it was a good night. It was a good night for him.
I like it, man.
There's no doubt about it.
Okay, and Kathleen, I think there was a doubt about it. I saw I saw a Mussolini type up there beating his chest and having his acolytes, you know, chant premeditated stuff. I think it was disgusting.
I was, to that point, I was surprised. I was following the New York Times conversation while the speech was going on, and as they were dissecting it with Maggie Haberman and other reporters, they were talking about the fact that in structure, the speech was very similar to a Barack Obama State of the Union address. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting point to make, but it does disallow the content, which is really what we're getting to, which I worry that we put it into, it was a normal political speech. Well, it wasn't.
So it was in its makeup, it was very similar, except it lacked the dignity of the office. And of course, Obama didn't lie as much as Trump lies. Well, so, I mean, there's some major difference.
There were very few rhetorical flourishes or very little soaring language. It was very much just a recitation of statements and facts.
It was one of his rallies.
It was a commercial. Yeah.
It was one of his rallies. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. No, because of the rallies, his tone and what he says is very, very different.
Well, they said the people
he was 180 degrees in a different direction from his rallies.
They were saying again back to the reporters who were covering the rallies and cover the campaign, said that it was basically a rally speech, except there was no going off script.
Right.
There wasn't those moments where he riffs, and that's usually what makes the news, of course.
But, right. 99.9% of the speech was about him. It was all about him directly. You know, used the word I, as if he alone did
Elon
all of these things.
Elon can fix it, man. Haven't you heard?
And one of the key rules of a good public speaker when they're trying to unify an audience is not to make it all about yourself. And that's why I think he failed at bringing any kind of unity to the country.
Well, Kathleen,
and I don't think he even cares about that.
He didn't make it about himself, though. I mean, that was in many ways very selfless with all those people that he had stood up. Come on,
America, patriots,
yeah.
America.
It was pleasing to his base,
but he did use the word "I" many, many times.
Alan, let's get to letters. We have 18,000. Okay. We're in
How much? 18,000 Z's.
188. We need 188 people at $100, and only have about 50 minutes to do it.
That's scary. We have 500,000 people listen to this radio station every month. That's a lot of people. Come on, everybody. If you believe in this radio station, if you need it, right now I think you need it more than you've ever needed it, make that call, 1-800-323-9262, or go to wamc.org. We've heard from Kathleen, who said, "Good morning, panel. What struck me about the State of the Union speech were all the inappropriate adjectives used without accompanying statistics or references to their truth. Best, first, awesome, only, incredible, most, and a host of others. I do regret that Ms. Pelosi tore up the speech. It rather brings her to the lowest common denominator." Well, Kathleen, I liked your letter until the last sentence. What else can I tell you? Let's go to Dean. I agree with Alan and Rosemary. The Democrats have tried the high road. How can you respond to lies without showing the truth? Let's support our politicians who are on the right road instead of choking them with unreasonable expectations while Trump does whatever he wants. Thank you for all you do, says Deanne. And I know Deanne is a person who has supported this radio station.
But I'll just note, though, that ripping the speech up doesn't bring truth to the debate. I think it further hardens the position, and the Democrats need to take the middle. They need the left, but they need the middle in order to win in November. And it's all about winning in November.
Well, I agree it's all about winning in November, but I don't agree that it's inappropriate for them to be tough at this stage of the game. They've got to be
mad.
Tough. Yeah,
it is. But don't act like a petulant child by ripping up a speech.
I don't think it was petulant.
I did. I just thought it was out of line.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm wrong.
Oh my God! Look at what she's doing. That is awesome.
I liked how it went into the two. It went into two piles. She did it twice. That was great.
Yeah,
I,
the New York Times said she ripped it into little pieces. Not true. It was very elegant.
Just in half.
Well, they were littler pieces.
Half and quarters.
And we heard from Neil, Pelosi and Trump. Props to Nancy. But Trump, Rush Limbaugh, Medal of Freedom, seriously? And then lying sack of weasel, word I can't use in the air.
There's the where's stand, that one going?
Well, I think we know where that was going, actually.
Stands up there and he'll say he'll protect the right to waive pre-existing conditions in health care at the very moment he's trying to overthrow it. Nancy was restrained, and that's Neil from Wendell.
You know, the Medal of Freedom has run its course. This only goes back to the Kennedy years, and it's been ridiculous before. We've had lots of basketball players. Bill Cosby has one. And it's totally legitimate for the president to give it to whoever he wants. I thought that Tiger
right
Woods
then,
was a bad decision.
Right there and then up in the,
why
up
not?
In the balcony?
There's no rules about where and when it has to be done. It was a showman's act, and he used it to his advantage. Ridiculous. He's a completely inappropriate man, except that the criteria for this is someone who has made an exceptional contribution to American life.
Well, that's the stated criteria. The actual criteria is someone who's famous.
Or who gives a lot of money to the president.
Right, right.
Yeah, like what Adelson's wife but, for charitable contributions.
But, Alan, if I could just make one note, though, just because I don't like what the speaker did at the end of the speech, that doesn't mean I support Trump. And it's interesting when I
sure
when
seems
I hear these,
like you do.
Well, this is just it. It becomes a zero-sum
That's what Alan always does to me. So I just
well, it's better. He usually says nonsense to me. So it's. But I mean, I think this is part of the hardening of our political arteries that really worries me.
Well, we've said a lot of brilliant things here today, but Joe said the most brilliant thing. Could you wipe the phlegm off my arm? And Russ says, a cowboy in chief. The president invoked heroes from early 60s Disney shows, Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, to lend mythic underpinning to his State of the Union, like this slick Disney productions. Facts were largely ignored in his shining Stockyard on the Hill speech. But for half the voting public, it's easy to believe the myth. But to grapple with the facts, in short, the speech advanced the mantra that government doesn't always have to do anything if people will believe that things are good as they get.
I do think the Disney analogy is appropriate. When he was going through that list, you know, it struck me, you know, immediately that there's no mention of the fact that we came in and slaughtered hundreds of American Indians, hundreds of thousands of American Indians.
Right.
There's no mention of that. That's just a race from our history. But again, we're living in a time where erasing the truth seems to be the goal of the day.
Joe, how are we doing?
We are doing pretty well, Alan. We still have a ways to go. We are at 18. Let me just get this up. Here we go. We are in the 17,000s. We need $17,842. $17,842. We have about 47 minutes to do it in, and we get $10,000, a $10,000 challenge, but we only have till 10:30 because Alan will be on with the governor at 10:30, so we have until then to make $17,842.
I do want to thank all those people who have magnificently put in all this money. And can you imagine, Joe, did we ever think we would have been a place on a Wednesday
before
the fund drive when we had raised over $700,000?
It's amazing. And so we're in the 17,000s now just for today. And we have made most of these and we need to keep going. So let's go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Please, $10,000 on the table. We have to make it.
Okay. And Suzanne wants to write on Iowa. Dear panel, the results in Iowa show that old white folks like Pete and the young white folks like Bernie.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, try that again.
Okay. The results in Iowa show that the old white folks like Pete.
Yeah.
Pause. And the young white folks like Bernie. What is the first state which will hold a primary that will show who people of color might vote for? I love the roundtable. Welcome back, Joe, and thanks to Ray. And that's Suzanne from Catskill.
In fairness to Pete, though, he did kind of, I mean, there weren't a lot of voters of color in that caucus, obviously, but he did do pretty well across the board. He did better with young voters than a lot of people thought he was going to. And that's one of the reasons he was kind of the surprise of the night.
First of all, I want Troy Price fired today.
Who?
Ridiculous. The head of the Democratic Party in Iowa. That's ridiculous. Second, I think they made a big mistake announcing 62% of the vote.
We don't know when the rest will come.
And 62%, it can all change.
We're
everything
up to 72%
now,
but go ahead.
So it can still.
30%. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. A third of the vote's still out.
When we were sitting around waiting for the numbers to come, and then when they said it was 62%, I couldn't believe it.
What's the point? Just wait till you have them all at that point.
You're the computer whiz. Why can't we get all the numbers? I guess I have absolutely no idea.
It is so beyond me. Even if they hand counted them, you would have and use an abacus. They should have the numbers counted by now. There's not that many people in Iowa.
Yeah, well,
there's not that many people who vote in this thing.
Right. So even when we have 100%, let's remember it's still I think close to 1% or less than 1% of the entire election. Body, right? The entire people involved. And that's another thing.
We have talked on this panel about how it doesn't mean anything. It's too early. Why is Iowa even the first vote? Biden knows he's not going to come in. It doesn't mean anything. And all of the commentary yesterday, based with more than one third of the vote still out, is, oh, Biden's in big trouble. He can't get over this. This is going to lose momentum. It's crazy.
He might be in some trouble.
Do you know it for that?
What has changed between yesterday?
Well, what has changed is that Biden's own campaign is hunkered down and seems to be treating it as if it were a death blow.
Well, what has changed is that a lot of us, right, believe that Biden hasn't shown the goods as he goes forward. We think that his he's lacking the verve to be able to win this thing. I mean, and in other words, people think that he has not done what he needed to do to show people that he was the guy.
Well, there were polls 2 weeks out in Iowa showing him neck and neck with Bernie, and his vote collapsed and went to Pete.
My point exactly.
He's probably going to do pretty poorly in New Hampshire. He seems on pace to lose pretty badly in Nevada. He's having some real money troubles. I mean, things aren't going real well.
Well, and he's hoping for South Carolina.
Right.
So that's the first vote that's going to be very important to the minority vote.
Well, no, that's not. Nevada does too, but it's a caucus.
But it has a large minority. But if you have somebody like Mayor Pete coming in with momentum into any of these contests, that changes things, doesn't it?
Caucuses should be outlawed.
Except that his momentum was blunted a bit by the way that the...
Well, let's see. I mean, you know.
Well, it's funny how Bloomberg has jumped up now. Yeah. He's suddenly viable.
Normally you get the primetime speech, you get all the excitement, you get a big fundraising boost, and he hasn't gotten any of that because of the way that the count's been released.
Yeah. Okay, but people
Assuming he won. Okay. I mean, he may not have even won.
But let's say he did. Let's just say for the sake of...
And, by the way, he is losing the popular vote and is tied in the number of actual delegates with Bernie. So how he won exactly, it's confusing. But this is the system.
And 28% of the vote is still unknown.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, forget it.
I'm done with all of you.
We also heard from...
Welcome back, Joe.
We also heard from Rick, who said, Pelosi dishonored Airman Charles McGee and others honored by tearing the president's speech. Pelosi continues to expose herself... and her party, and that's all of this letter that I'm reading only because it's a little too long. And we heard from Richard, State of the Union speechical. Hi, panel. I don't care what Pelosi...
What?
Speechical, like a popsicle.
Hi, panel. I don't care that Pelosi tore up Trump's speech, but as the father-in-law of an Army sergeant, I am insulted by Trump using a serviceman's family as a political prop.
Yes, I mean, that counters the last letter you read, doesn't it?
And Trump wraps the flag around.
All the time.
Yeah, there's a long history of using people as props in
just
the State of the Union
speeches. Just
look up
YouTube for military reunions. Yeah. There's a billion of them.
Trump wraps the flag around himself for selfish reasons.
Yes.
Okay, and then it says, never forget the cons or Trump's smearing of John McCain. And that's from Richard in Corinth.
So Richard, I think, is spot on. And you know, I note the comment that was made about the brain injuries by the president that was so abhorrent that every veteran and every person in uniform and every family of someone in uniform should be absolutely outraged. And yet what we're talking about was the made-for-TV Hallmark moment last night. And I do watch those videos, Rosemary, and I do get creepers, I will admit. It's a touching scene. But, you know, it's too much.
I owe you a break, don't I? I get so excited about everything.
Yeah.
I forgot to take a break.
What
okay,
a panel. What a panel.
Guess what? We have $13,859 to go.
This is scary. I mean,
all
really
right.
Scary.
So we need to make a lot of money here. But that's good. I mean, it's really good. We've gotten more than $10,000 out of the way, so that's good. But we need to make $13,859. Actually, $759. But we need you, 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Why are we so excited about this? Because we have $10,000 on the table that we lose if we don't make this before 10:30. That's 40 minutes from now. Do what you have to do. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. The good news is that Rosemary sort of... I was going to say Rosemary lived through the break, but apparently that's touch and go.
It's just a little cold.
All
that
right.
We all have now.
There's nothing like being trapped in a
it's
small
nice,
booth.
It's nice knowing we're going into a
fun
drive with this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Alan and I are like, yay.
I thought you'd appreciate my dedication to come despite that up off my sick bed.
You'll be the only one here next Wednesday, though.
That's wrong.
If we weren't germophobes, we would be, but you know. All right, we need $13,000. $13,000. We only have 38 minutes, Alan. The time is ticking. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Chris Churchill, Terry Gibson, Bob Griffin, and we welcome your letters at panel@wamc.org.
Folks, we're counting on you now. We really are. You know, this is it's been a remarkable time. We raised over $700,000 into the lockbox. But now, in order to show what we are, to show who we are, you don't have to be Nancy Pelosi ripping up a script. You don't have to do any of that. You just have to say, this is my radio station. I believe in it. And I'm going to put something in it. A lot of people put $1,000 in. If you can do $5 or $100, whatever it is, we do need you. And let's get it done.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. You can also do it online at wamc.org. We only have until 10:30 this morning.
Which is no time at all. Let's go, everybody.
To make $13,000 in the next 20 or 37 minutes.
Let's go. Russ says Trump's approval numbers will go down in the not-too-distant future, and you can count on it. And that's from Russ in Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, Russ, where are you getting that from?
No, I think he's right. I think he's right. I think what happens is that he gave a speech. People like to be on the bandwagon. They saw the cheering. They saw the, you know, that's why they did it.
But he's impeached, he gets acquitted. I mean, does that help? I mean, right?
That helps him.
Yeah.
That helps him in the show.
Yeah, it helps him. And then you look at the fiasco in Iowa, and you're sort of looking at the Dems going, you can't even run a caucus. How can you run the nation? I mean, it was a really bad week for the Democrats.
Uh-oh.
His approval rating right now is at 44.9%.
If you look at
the average of all of them. And, I mean, that's a little bit better than it has, but it's at like 2 or 3 points.
Well, Gallup,
it's
not like is the best Republican
but
money.
But you don't go by one poll. You never go by one poll.
But the trend is upward, Chris. If you look at all the polls, they're going up.
But it's only February. It's only February. Right.
Don't be a Debbie Downer. Lisa says, good morning, panel. Just made my fund drive donation, Joe. I was with Biden. Now I'm all in on Bloomberg. I don't care if he buys the election. I want Trump out. And that's from regular writer Lisa in Pokewald.
Lisa, I hear you.
Thank you, Lisa. Yep.
Okay. And then we also heard from Frank, and that's with a C. Morning, panel.
Hi, Frank. Oh,
what?
Oh, yeah, like the money?
F-R-A-N-C.
Yeah.
Okay. Morning, panel. Has anyone noticed that almost all American citizens celebrated and awarded in the chamber audience were almost all African Americans and one Hispanic? The young girl getting a scholarship, the 100-year-old soldier, the Mexican border guard. Yeah, I guess he got around the wall. That's Alan. This is Trump sucking up to minority groups that he has demonized, ridiculed, and punished for over 3 years. This, to me, is just blatant pandering, trying to make up for his horrible record with minorities. Minorities of America, don't fall for Trump's cynical showmanship. It's all lies. And that's Frank in Rhinebeck.
Frank is right.
He's not trying to make up for anything.
Minus Rush.
He is baldly just using the same tactics that he's always used,
and
which
John
is to
says,
wow them with theatrics.
And John says, Dem Party needs our help. What we have witnessed in the past 3 years is the transformation of the GOP aligning to radical Tea Party platform led by Rush Limbaugh. Trump is a buffoon. I just watched the video of him disrespecting the national anthem. While everyone is standing respectfully with a hand over their hearts, he is dancing and fidgeting.
That's during the Super Bowl party his club in Maryland.
He could care less about our military and sacrifices they make on our behalf. The only way the Dems beat him is to fight fire with fire. There needs to be a movement on par with the Tea Party movement to remove Trump. Bernie is the only one that can accomplish this. He has the support. Please get behind him ASAP. And that's John from the Pine Bush.
I'm sorry, John. I worry as much about Bernie's policies as I do about Trump's policies. So I think I'm not sure I can get behind Bernie. That's really...
Do you really worry as much about the two policies?
Which policy in particular?
I can see you might have concerns about Bernie's policies, but do you really equate the worry of Trump's policies with Bernie's policies as equal?
Which policy? They're completely different. Break out 90 seconds before a break. Go ahead.
His policy on taxation, the way he campaigns on
giveaways. Boy, you must have a lot of money.
I don't, but you know the little bit that I do have, I like to keep in my pocket. I believe that everybody has a responsibility to pay taxes, but I don't want to pay more taxes than I have to.
Hey, Joe, I'm sorry, but Joe, where are we in this thing now?
We need $12,500. We have, so we're halfway, and we have 33 minutes to do it in. So 1-800-323-9262. And $10,000 on the table that we lose if we don't make this before 10:30.
Think about $10,000, what that is.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
And if I don't pay more taxes, I donate it to AMC.
1-800-323-9262.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
If Libby were here, she'd make you take out your wallet. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. WAMC.org. We need you desperately. Please do what you can do. 1-800-323-9262. $12,300 now, Alan.
And desperately is exactly the right word,
yeah,
which
we're
you
desperate.
Always do.
Yeah, desperate. And because it's a lot of money and it's a short period of time.
And because we want to keep on bringing you what we're bringing you.
That's right. And, you know, I know some people have criticized, oh, you're taking away time from the panel. All of this is so that we don't completely upend the day and take days after day to do the fund drive, which we have done and we'll have to do probably again soon. But for right now, we can have a one morning fund drive.
But we will have a one morning fund drive the way this is going. It's amazing. Again, I want to thank everybody who has put into that massive amount of money. How much altogether, Joe?
$712,821.
It's unbelievable. And I want to thank all of you who have done that. And for the few CCCs, critical carping complainers, okay, that's just the way it is.
All right. We need exactly $12,000. I'm sure we can do it just during the news break. Not they'll be listening to you too, Ray, but they'll be multitasking, listening to you and pledging.
You have to be ambidextrous.
1-800-323-9262. WAMC.org. When we come back, we'll have our final half hour with our wonderful panel. Then the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, will be on with Alan Chartok, and we will make $12,000 and get a $10,000 challenge. You will make it so. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you all with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Amayo, Chris Churchill, Terry Gibson, and Robert Griffin. Alan is saying, uh-oh, for a reason.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what the reason is. People think we never lose these, but we do. And we have. And this time it looks like we might, if everybody doesn't get going right at this second. The telephone number is 1-800-323-9262. I'm using it. Everybody, 1-800-323-9262. And what you need to do is understand that we're depending on everybody 500,000 people every month listen to this radio station. We should be able to do this. I'm asking you to do your thing now. You know, people walk. I was on my walk yesterday around Lake Mansfield. Thank goodness that road is still there. And people were saying to me, did we make it? Did we make it? People are involved in this, and I love that. 1-800-323-9262.
Hey, guess what, Alan?
What?
I made him. That was operator error. That was
okay,
my stupidity.
Operator error, just like in Iowa.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you for that comparison. But yes, we're close. We need $10,000. We have 20 minutes.
That's not going to be easy.
No,
that
is not going to be easy.
My heart will be palpitating.
We do not need that. Sorry, lady. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. So we need 10,000 to make 10,000.
I just want to say that we heard a couple of perplexed looks around the table when I said, sorry, lady. There was a lady who called up and said, stop talking about your heart palpitating. My heart really does palpitate. And I object to your using the word palpitating.
But I think it's safe to say your heart really palpitates, too.
Well, yes. Yeah. Okay, and let's go here to John, who says, speech. I'm so disappointed to hear your panel members say they disliked it when Pelosi ripped up the speech. Not me. I didn't say that. On the contrary. No one should respect a speech that contains lie after lie after lie. Thank goodness there's a fighter like Pelosi around. John from Valley Falls. And I have to say, John, I think this woman has guts. I didn't know whether she was going to be up to the job when they made her speaker. Now I just hope she doesn't keep her word and get out after, you know, a specified amount of time. I think she's terrific for exactly that reason.
We need $8,379, so we have 19 minutes. Go ahead, Alan.
Oh, boy. 19 minutes to make $8,000?
Yes, sir.
Can it be done, Joe?
I believe so, but we have to do a lot of work.
Don says term limits. Good morning, panel. We need term limits. If we had... I love all of the letters that say we need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need term limits. We need this. We need that. All true, but the fact of the matter is... Does anybody see a way that that's going to happen?
How are you going to get it?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
We need term limits. We had term limits. Senators and they have them in New York City, by the way, and they work. Except when Bloomberg, remember that, he bought that third term.
Yeah, he bought a third term.
We need term limits. If we had term limits, senators and representatives would not be worrying about keeping their jobs. Then they could vote their conscience rather than their political party. And in turn, this could resolve much of the dissension in the country. Push for term limits. Don and Poughkeepsie. Well, Don, here's the problem. It's not only wanting to win re-election. It's what happens after re-election. And a lot of these guys, they get out and they want to, you know, cha-ching it. They move their family to around Washington and they get an office on K Street. And then they become lobbyists. That's the way it works. So don't think if they were out after a certain amount of time, they wouldn't continue to.
Term limits also take responsibility away from voters. It's not like these people stay in office for an unlimited amount of time. They go back to the voters all the time, and they are voted back in. And that means either voters like what they're doing or they're not paying attention. I'm sorry. Susan Collins is ridiculous, and she keeps getting voted back in. That means Maine people want her.
Okay. But so many of
same
these,
with name anybody.
So many of these elected officials live in incredibly safe districts where they never are challenged. So the voters are not challenged to come out and vote. They have very low turnouts because they never are given options, so they just don't show up because they assume that the same people will be there, and they are. And that's why we have people in the House of Representatives and the Senate that have been there for 30-plus years.
Okay, now you're talking gerrymandering, and I agree with that. Gerrymandering does need a fix.
And then
term limits, not so much.
It's not just gerrymandering. I mean, in some states where you have an overwhelmingly Democratic population, there just aren't people willing to stand up and challenge them.
Yeah. Good morning, panel. We need term limits, said Don. And now Teresa says, Trump's health. Was anyone else disturbed by Trump slumping over and clinging to the lectern? Or about his slurring words? Or the twisting and jerking of his torso? There seems to be a serious health issue going on with him, and I can't be the only one who's concerned. Love and thanks, Teresa in Saugerties.
Who is this?
Trump last night during the address, and I don't. I certainly know what she's talking about. However, there were similar. I remember in the 2016 campaign during the debates, people were saying the same thing. So I don't
Joe, 16 minutes. What's up?
That's right. So we need $7,600, $7,600. We have just 16 minutes to do in. 16 minutes, and we need $7,600. 1-800-323-7400 now. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Watch your heart, sir. 1-800-323-9262.
Too late now.
We are going to we're going to take a quick break and catch up. We will be right back.
We don't have time to take a break.
I know. And it'll be very short. But in the meantime, you all will help and do your part. We're now, we need $5,439.
Okay, let's go, everybody. $5,000, that's 50 of you. Come on. Everybody put something in. We'll make it. But if not, they will lose it.
1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. We just have about 13 minutes left before we go over to Alan and the governor. We need $4,800 right now, Alan, to make $10,000 in challenge money. $4,800. Can we do it in the next 13 minutes?
We'll have to try and try and try. Look, everybody, it's your radio station. Truly, you made it what it is. You've been there. And when we get a very critical letter, I wonder, and so do the panelists, did that person put something in so that we can have free discussion and read his letter or her letter? 1-800-323-9262. It is so important that we make this because we are heading towards a historic finish, or not even a beginning of this fund.
$4,800 right now, $4,800, and we need you. 1-800-323-9262. 12 minutes left.
Oh, boy.
Please, please, please. We're down to $4,700 now. 1-800-323-9262, whatever you can do.
Okay. The color of the chamber. How many women were wearing white on the Republican side of the chamber? Oops. How many women were on the Republican side of the chamber? Oops. How many people who weren't white were on the Republican side of the chamber? Freda from Chatham.
You know, it was a really good point, Alan. And I was looking at both the layout of the speech last night, and everybody on the floor didn't represent the demographics of this country. There was certainly much more diversity in the cheap seats in the stands, but when you looked at both the cabinet and the Supreme Court and Congress, it did not at all come close to represent the diversity.
So that's
what this
whole thing is about. The whole thing is about people who do not want the coming black and brown majority in this country to succeed. That's what it's about.
And that's how Rush Limbaugh built his career, was speaking out in racist language against people of color. And here he is getting a Medal of Honor. So.
And Diane from Albany said, it's a brilliant letter. It starts, "I'm with Alan. Nancy Pelosi showed fire and passion by tearing up the speech. After all, the lack of class Republicans have shown, her actions are understandable and that she's a human being and a strong leader." And the word leader is capitalized.
I just want to, there is breaking news that CNN is reporting that Jerry Nadler is speaking now as the House Judiciary Chief, says it is likely they will subpoena John Bolton. So, off we go. There'll be more there.
You better believe there's some backstage stuff going on with the speaker who really calls the shots on this stuff. Susan says, government schools. I did not watch the State of the Union. I could not bear to listen to all the lies I knew it would contain. And I also knew that I could hear enough summarizing on today's morning news. Panel, please do not fail to mention that Trump did not talk about public schools. He talked about failing government schools. Please comment. Thanks.
That's true. That was shocking. He uses the terminology, you know, of the state. These were failing government schools. And I'm saying, does he mean public schools?
That's exactly
he does.
What he means.
And you said it, Terry, that he's talking about pulling support away from public schools.
Right. Embracing charter schools.
Absolutely.
And you know, the insidious part is that the more you tell people it's failing, the more they're going to believe it's failing. The same
absolutely.
Way that the more he's telling people that they're so much better than they were, you know, they believe that they were doing horribly at the end of the Obama administration. They weren't.
It's the big lie. And, you know, the more people on this panel occasionally say, Trump is going to win, Trump is going to win. That's bad because that does lead people to think and expect that it's going to happen.
You can send your children to any school that you want, but statistics show that a community is only as good as the public school that's in the community, no matter what.
That's right.
How many minutes, Joe?
We have 8 minutes, and we need... I'm going to have to come up with... we need $4,200.
Oh, that's a lot.
Education.
That's a lot
safety.
In 8 minutes. Everybody on a phone now, please, let's go. Let's make us whole. Let's keep this wonderful station, which does such wonderful work, going. 1-800-323-9262. Hi, panel. Keep up the good work, says Kathleen. I'm happy to support WAMC Exhibit A. You're only talking about Nancy ripping the script and not endlessly repeating that Trump refused to shake her hand. DNC should use the ample video evidence of Trump's buffoonery in all campaign advertisements for the next few months. Trump conducting the national anthem at the Super Bowl, demeaning John McCain, minimizing military brain injury. Endless clips from his competitors in the 2016 primary. That's a great idea. He and his RNC repudiation of increases in minimum wages. Reasonable people on the right are pulling away from him. Give them enough evidence to vote, Kathleen. 1-800-323-9262. Any movement?
I don't.
Who's pulling away from him on the right? Where is that coming from?
Yeah, and I don't.
It's
you
just
know,
wishful thinking.
And what I understand the note, but what I don't understand is there's nothing there that we didn't know or that the American people didn't know when they went to the ballot box in 2006.
Yes,
one of the many mistakes that Hillary made is that she made it all about him and his failings and didn't do enough to offer her own vision of what she wanted, and it didn't work.
Except I am saying
everybody
now,
knows, it's baked into the cake. They know who he is at this point.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the letter was a good one. I do think there's a great deal of things that should be in, that people should see. For example, somebody should be reading his famous quote about women and where you grab them and all the rest of it. That's terribly
But convenient. That was, but 10 days before the election, that happened, and it played over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
And
he won.
He won.
I don't know. To your point of it being baked in the cake, I mean, so we know it seems to be like the American people, much like
7 minutes.
The Senate in that regard.
If I could address the handshake,
we know it's
though,
bad, but yeah.
I watched that multiple times. He didn't shake the vice president's hand either, so that was one of the reasons that I wasn't sort of raising it as part of the outrage. I have enough other issues to be outraged by this president and outraged by that speech. So that was, but the handshake wasn't one of them. I think if you watch it carefully, you'll see that he didn't shake either of their hands.
The question
wasn't clear to me if he even saw her hand.
Yeah, or even saw her, quite frankly.
She is an assassin, in the words of Steve Bannon, and she knows exactly what she's doing, and power to you, girl.
Yeah. $3,000.
No, no. And how long did you get it?
7 minutes. Six minutes, sorry.
Now, let me read out the rules. I wrote them.
I love the rules.
Anytime you call, as long as you're on the phone or at the computer, it's going to work. So do it now. Don't be afraid that it's too late. It's not too late. 1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800-323-9262.
And why is it so important that we make $3,000 in the next 6 minutes, Alan?
Because, Joe, we get $10,000, $10,000. That's a lot of money.
And who's that from? That's from
Anonymous.
Okay.
And I got
Anonymous of Albany.
And I got to tell you, we have never, ever, and we never will, made one of these up. If we say that there's a challenge from Anonymous, I always try to convince people to use their names because it tends to legitimize the whole thing. Nevertheless, I swear to you, we have never, ever made one of these up. So if somebody says they're going to give us $10,000 if we can make it, they are honest and we are honest too about it.
1-800-323-9262. We need $2,800 right now.
Dennis said, get used to it. Mueller report was helpful to President Nancy and the House blew it. They say on it, and their case was awful. The Dem candidates are terrible and probably won't beat him. And now we have Mike B. supposed to ride to the rescue, and that's Dennis from Milford. Dennis, I respect your right to write and to let us know, but don't. Do not abbreviate. 1-800-323-9. Abbreviation is out.
1-800. I thought you were going to go after the content.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's all right.
What is that?
1-800-323-9262. $2,700. Let's go.
Oh, and 5 minutes?
Five minutes.
Four minutes. Four and a half minutes. 1-800-323-9262. My Kishkas are inflamed.
Whatever we have left over, you can ask the governor for, okay?
Okay, yeah, sure. That'll do it. He'll remind me that I was for his opponent. He always says that. That's when he tried to steal the election from Carl McCall. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
It's a good way to start an interview, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Dear panel, two things we can't be sure of is that between now and the election, one, Trump will do many, many colossally stupid things, and two, there will be a steady drip of illegal, immoral revelations. Don't panic. Bob and Ankrum.
But so, okay.
And Joe, again, 3.5 minutes. What do we got?
$1,329.
$1,329. It's not going to be easy, folks. It's dependent on you. 1-800-323-9262. And Andrew says, I worked on the Apprentice Circus Sideshow. I begrudgingly worked periodically on this fool's long-running reality show and was privy to his ignorant behavior and sensationalized attitudes towards interpretations of politics. The American people were spoon-fed, fed this sideshow for years. I can't read the whole thing because we just don't have the time. Joe, how close?
1-800-323-9262. Less than $1,000. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
We get 10,000.
Only
if we do it.
3 minutes left. That's right.
You know, I want to thank all the people who are on the panel today for their wonderful presence and their smart words, even if they're wrong.
Does anybody want a rebuttal?
he wasn't talking to me.
What? $679 now. 1-800-323-9262. Be awful to lose us over $600.
Awful.
So back to Bob's note really quickly.
Yes,
I think
sir.
He's right. And we got to remember that this isn't a sprint. This is a
right.
a marathon,
right.
And that lots of things are going to change. And I think part of the problem we see with Iowa is that we're just not used to having instantaneous information.
So, well, right. And we still don't have it. We're still right. waiting.
And we're still waiting.
And we're still waiting.
Right.
Yes.
Although it is a little confounding that...
I think they should wait to announce it the night of the primary so you can get like a double effect.
Oh, that'd be great.
Good news is you won New Hampshire.
Would you like to trade in your win?
Minute and a half.
1-800-323-9264. What is behind door number two? The state of Iowa. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. We made it. We're good?
Yay.
We got it?
All right. Thank you
to Anonymous of Albany. Thank you very much. We are now with this challenge included, we are at $735,501 in the lockbox.
Wow.
Nice. I wanted you to respond to the
affirmative. Well, that's extraordinary.
All right.
Wonderful, and we thank everybody who put something in. Believe me, when I say thank you, I mean thank you.
We have a blinking light, which means the governor is on hold. We don't want to keep him there very long. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back with the governor of New York State panel. Thank you very much.